Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today marks the beginning of the holiest week of the church year as we celebrate the culmination of Christ Jesus' work of salvation, his entering his creation in the flesh of man, fulfilling all the law and the prophets, and going to Jerusalem, where he is glorified on Calvary's cross, and 3 days later, raised from the dead. Jesus has reconciled us to God by the blood of his cross, and that is the heart of our faith. God the Son became a human creature so that he might repair our relationship with God the Father. And everything went exactly according to God's plan and according to his prophecy. Some 500 years prior to Jesus' triumphal entry into the holy city, God's prophet Zechariah foretold of that great and glorious day when the Messiah would enter into Jerusalem, saying, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he." Jesus' disciples should not have been surprised at the blood and the gore. 3 times he had told them ahead of time that he was going to Jerusalem to be delivered over to the religious leaders who would condemn him to death. And then they would deliver him over to the Gentiles who would mock him and spit on him and flog him and finally kill him. And after 3 days be raised from the dead. So it was in the very same way that Solomon, the king of David, the son of King David, rode on a donkey into Jerusalem to be crowned king over Israel nearly 1,000 years earlier. Now Jesus rides into Jerusalem similarly, mounted on a colt, the foal of a donkey. But King Jesus is different in every way. He's not like earthly kings. He's one of a kind. He doesn't place his confidence in his military might or his armor. His confidence is in God the Father in heaven. And riding into the holy city, he does not bring violence or anger or wrath, only kindness, justice, mercy, and salvation. As the incarnate Messiah rides into the city to receive his crown, the crowd took out branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." The omniscient Son of God rides humbly into the city, knowing that in 5 short days, these very same people who are shouting, "Hosanna, and blessed is he, they would change their tune. They would be jeering him and taunting him with shouts of, "Crucify, crucify him." His people will not receive him. They will reject God himself as their king, along with the peace and salvation that he came to give them. They will crown him, except with a crown of thorns, and nail him onto his throne, the throne of his cross of execution. And yet knowing the suffering and the bloody death that he would face in Jerusalem, he rode on in majesty. Lowly in lowly pomp, he rode on to die. And that is our Palm Sunday confession. As we sang at the very opening of the service this morning, you and I cry out, ride on, in majesty. It's a Palm Sunday confession of faith for all who believe and trust in Christ and his work of salvation on our behalf. The crowds in Jerusalem cried out, "Hosanna," which means it's a strictly a cry expressing an appeal for divine help, to save, to help. We pray. But the crowds were after earthly salvation from an earthly king. king. You and I, however, live on the opposite side of that historic week. We know that the tomb is empty, and you and I know what it means for Jesus to accomplish our salvation, for him to suffer God's entire wrath against sin and win forgiveness of sins for our sake. The enduring of the pain and agony while his very lifeblood is poured out from his sacred veins. Christ Jesus has indeed reconciled us to God through the blood of his cross. It seems like such a strange way to save the world. A bloody death, a horrible execution, and no matter how paradoxical or upside down it seems to our human reason, God hides himself in the humility of Christ. Victory comes through his death, and life comes through dying. In our epistle lesson this morning, St. Paul beautifully describes this paradox. He begins by calling us all to have a mind which is yours in Christ Jesus. So what is this mind that Paul is speaking of? Well, it's having a mind and an attitude that is shaped by Jesus' humble and self-giving sacrifice. It's a mind that's humble, like the King of creation riding into Jerusalem, humbly seated on a donkey. It's a mind of perfect obedience that allowed himself to be arrested, to go through a phony trial and be tortured and killed, all according to the Father's will. And it's a mind that loves you so much that he would rather shed his very own blood for your salvation than lose you. And it's a love that empties oneself to serve others. So Paul calls you and I to have this mind, but instead you and I have a mind that is self-centered and self-righteous. Because you believe that you're morally superior to others, you're quick to criticize others and call out their sins. And since you're so busy trying to dig the speck out of your neighbor's eye, you don't even notice the log in your own eye. You prioritize your own feelings over and against your neighbor's emotional suffering, their pains, their hurts, and their sickness. And our mixed up world sees acts of service and mercy as weakness. They see it as settling for less. You won't risk serving others unless there's something in it for you. And you're not alone. I'm right there with you, because that's the way the sinful human nature operates. Even when you and I are truly trying to humble ourselves and count others as more significant than ourselves, looking not to your own interests, but to the interests of others, you and I come up short. We come up empty. But that was not the case for Jesus. By emptying himself, he not only did not come up empty, it led to him being exalted to the full. In Catechism, we talk about the two stages of Jesus' work of salvation, his state of humiliation and his state of exaltation. And in his state of humiliation, Jesus didn't always use and fully use his divine powers. In our text, Paul says, though Jesus was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Can you imagine the King of glory, the one who created the heavens and the earth? He became one of us, emptying himself completely, starting out as a tiny baby, coming out of the womb of Mary, the baby who needed to be breastfed and then spoon-fed and have his diapers changed. It meant putting himself in our place under the law. And ultimately, it meant not using his divine powers to defend himself, but humbling himself to do the Father's will by silently suffering the most wretched and obscene death known to the Greco-Roman world, a crucifixion on a cross. But Jesus' state of humiliation, his emptying himself for you, did not leave him empty, because of his work, God the Father has exalted him in what we call his state of exaltation. Paul goes on to say that God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Being highly exalted, Christ Jesus is now and forevermore fully using his divine powers, his divine attributes. And his exaltation is evidence of his victory over his enemies and his Father's acceptance of his work of salvation, especially his victory over sin, death, and the grave. His exaltation reveals that he is different from every other earthly king. He is a one-of-a-kind king, the king of the universe. And God the Father invites you and me and all mankind to confess and praise his holy name as the only Savior that the world will ever know. So when St. Paul calls us to have a mind which is yours in Christ Jesus, he's not merely saying that Jesus is your good example on how to empty yourself, that you should follow it. By all means, he is an example, but that's not all he means. What he is really saying is that what Jesus did on the cross counts for you. As sinful human beings, you and I cannot empty ourselves of our selfishness, our self-righteousness, as perfectly as we ought. So Jesus took your place, and all sinful mankind, under the law, to fulfill the law for you. He humbled himself even unto death on a cross to take your death, so that he may give to you eternal life, so that he may suffer all God's wrath against your sin and pay the wages of those sins, so they would not be counted against you. Your sins of believing that you are superior to others, your criticism of others, and trying to pick the speck out of their eye while ignoring the log in your own. Your sin of lack of empathy and lack of works of service and mercy toward others. But the good news is Jesus has forgiveness for that. Jesus has won your forgiveness. And he forgives you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And because you are united to Christ's death and resurrection in baptism, you fully share in Jesus' exaltation. His name, into which you are marked in at the font, is marked on you for all eternity. You will wear it with pride for all eternity. And when you kneel before him at his throne, you won't be bowing in shame, but in faith and joy. And with the angels in heaven, your tongue will be singing his praises forever. And knowing that God will exalt you fully in Christ on the last day, you can joyfully serve and love others today with a mind that is like Christ's, just as God in Christ serves and loves you. By emptying himself unto death, Jesus fills you with abundant life. He gave his life so that you will never die, but you will live eternally. He gave his blood to cover you with his righteousness. And he came down from heaven in the form of man to live a perfect life for you. And his atoning death takes away your debt from you. And all of this he did willingly, without complaint. All this he gladly suffered for you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.